Happy Monday, Bucks fans. It's not really happy unless you really just love the draft. If you're all about April, then it's a great Monday. Otherwise, it is Loserville. The Bucks have now lost 7 out of 8. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. This is the Monday Morning Joe podcast, and we're presented by Discount Garage Doors. DGDoors.com is their website. And Bill Curry Ford, just north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway, home of the nationwide lifetime warranty on new and pre-owned vehicles. The Bucks game yesterday, I was there. I'm going to tell you a little bit about the locker room. I'm going to tell you different stuff, and we'll just get some stuff off our chest here. I appreciate this spot for me to vent as one of the Joes at Joe Bucks Fan. And, you know, we are now a little bit after Dirk Cutter's news conference, and frankly, we're 42 days from the guy getting fired. Barring a miracle of historic NFL proportions with the Bucks running the table, Dirk's out of here. We all know it. He knows it. Reality knows it. But there is always that chance of some sort of freak show finish. And this team, do you really think they don't have a freak show in them? Because they are a freak show. Make no mistake. The defense right now, no linebackers. We don't have linebackers. We have a JV unit out there. Devontae Bond, Fabio, for Bareilly Bulla. These guys aren't NFL players. And Adarius Taylor, he's not an NFL starter. He really isn't. And he's a good special teams player. He's fine as a strong side linebacker. Although, is he really fine? I mean, he was such a drop-off from Kendall Beckwith and the job he did there last year. And really, right now, we have no linebackers. Now, you know what the secondary looks like, so how are you going to beat another NFL team? Think about it. Just think about it logically, football-wise, for a minute. How are you going to beat another NFL team consistently with no linebackers? No linebackers. That's the predicament the Bucks are in. And then you look behind the linebackers, and you kind of want to get sick because it's not very good. And it's not very promising. And when the whistle blows, I want the Bucks to win. Thought maybe that this could happen today, but yesterday. But no chance. I had picked them to lose. And they played by the script. Eli Manning, one incompletion all day. The best completion percentage of his career. The guy's one of the all-time Iron Men in the NFL. And yep, yesterday against the Bucks, no pressure, no problem, no coverage. Dirk Cutter said it today. Hey, we just need tighter coverage. Our pressure on the passer is okay, which I disagree with. I don't agree with that at all, but they're not covering anybody. I mean, they just don't have guys who can cover or guys who want to cover aggressively. Are you that afraid to get beat? I don't know. It's you watch the games, you feel for it, and you hope that this team can get better. And that they can make at least the right decisions, because that's really the key now. With 6 games to go, you can make a lot of good decisions. You can see a lot of good things that you can build on for next year, whoever the GM or the coach is. 6 games is a lot of games in the NFL. 2 games is not a lot of games, but 6 games, a lot can happen in 6 games when it comes to building for the future. Now, Thanksgiving is coming up. Of course, all the podcasts and work that we do at JoeBucksFan.com does not end. We work 24/7 and plenty of content for you coming up. But also, Thanksgiving's coming up, and Thanksgiving is a lot better with a new garage door or that creaky, not working, not safe garage door fixed. And that's why you need to call Discount Garage Doors today, 866-420-DOOR. This is a local company serving 18 counties across Florida, local. Discount Garage Doors says it all in the name. They will beat pricing. They have a tremendous selection of affordable new doors, and you get a same-day free service call, free diagnosis. They come out there tomorrow, tell you what's wrong, fix it if you want, or get a new door in there, and that's how it works. 10% off with your Joe Bucks Fan discount code. Or go to their website. They have a lot of great coupons. You can call them 24/7. Again, this is a local company, not one of these big national ads that are out there and the big names. They're a big name in Florida, in our community, serving 18 counties. Discount Garage Doors has been around about 20 years. I can vouch for them. I know a lot of listeners have used them. DGDoors.com. get over there today, make the call, schedule them up. There's no catch. They'll come out and tell you what's wrong. Free service call, free diagnosis. All right. Now, at the stadium yesterday, let me just go right to the post-game locker room. I'm so fed up with this team. It's painful. It's painful for all of you. I don't have any healing words to offer here. I'll have to say the post-game locker room for a gut punch loss that probably officially knocked you out of the playoffs. It wasn't a very somber locker room. It really wasn't. Now, there wasn't like high-fiving going on, or I don't want to paint the wrong picture. But ultimately, and I stayed in the locker room all the way to the bitter end, I waited for Peyton Barber to come out of the training room after most guys had already taken off and were getting ready to go through the process to get to the bus for the flight. The Buccaneers take their bus. It's all TSA clearance in the stadium. If you didn't realize that, they get on their bus and they drive right to their private plane or chartered plane and head out. So they do all their security clearance for the airplanes and stuff at the stadium as a team. Anyway, but the locker room, man, just wasn't as somber as it could have been. Really wasn't, you know, not a lot of anger in there. Guys clearly, you know, bummed out about the loss, but I've been in a lot of losing locker rooms. My 11th year covering the Bucks, and I had been in, we didn't always have credentials at JoeBucksFan.com, but sometimes we did in the early years. And before that, I had been in locker rooms during the glory days of the Bucks and other locker rooms, other sports. Just, I don't know. I think there's a little too much, hey, this is the way we are setting in. And I don't like that at all. I think that stinks. That's just an impression for somebody who's been in there many times, not as somber as it could have been. And maybe that's a function of how weird this team is, you know, with hard for the offense to be, well, I don't know. That's just the way it is. Now, one guy I did talk to in the locker room, among many, was Jameis. And as media, we don't really get a lot of one-on-one time with Jameis because it's just not how it goes. And he's got to be willing to chat with you one-on-one. And, you know, sometimes one guy comes over and then three other guys come over and it becomes not a one-on-one, you know, within about 20 seconds. And then that's not what the player wanted. And that's not what you wanted as the media guy, because you just wanted to get some real truth from Jameis versus the television version, which is what really a news conference is. There's chatting with a guy for real, and then there's a news conference. It's just two different animals. And because there's limited media on the road, and because other media took off and was doing some other things, I was able to chat with Jameis after his news conference in the locker room. And, you know, I wrote about this a little bit, and I can't share everything Jameis said because it just wouldn't be appropriate. But it wasn't an off-the-record conversation. But I wasn't there to play gotcha with the guy either. So that's a fine line that we deal with as media who tries to be responsible and also wants information in the future, you know, kind of thing. So what I will say is this. I didn't know what Jameis talked about in his news conference. And I went up to talk to him about getting back in the game and chatted up with him a little bit. And he just started talking about the toll of losing and, you know, and how painful it is for him personally. And that the Bucks need more guys to feel that pain. And that's the only way that they're going to dig out of it, through the daily grind, but through that pain. And, you know, there was talk when Dirk Cutter was hired, when Jameis was talking, I started thinking of culture change. Dirk Cutter talked about that in his first year, how just some teams. And remember, he was on great Falcons teams, at least one that went to within 10 yards of a Super Bowl in 2012. I lost money on that game, so I never forget that. Cutter knows what a good locker room feels like, and he talked when he came in about culture change, and that was the buzzword for a while because it raised a red flag, whatever you want to call it, because it was clear that he felt he had to change some things to get that vibe going where teams who learn how to win and they have that certain way about them. And Cutter knew it was missing. And then things turned around miraculously in 2016 behind some great defense. And the Bucks thought maybe they had captured it, and they didn't. It didn't carry on, as we know. But it was kind of like what Jameis was saying, which was, you know, I need guys more on my culture. And he wasn't trying to absolve himself of mistakes. But, you know, really a lot of insight into Jameis just talking about the pain of losing when I didn't even ask him about the pain of losing. That's not how I opened the conversation. So it was good to talk to him, gets really kind of a vibe of what he's feeling and thinking. But I think there's a very grateful guy there. I'm not going to say Jameis is a transformed man because he was benched and because he has a kid, which I think is some of the biggest crock in the world. Sure, some people mature after they have a kid. Some people also lose it. You know, having a child isn't exactly easy. And there was a lot of chatter out there at the time when Jameis' child was on the way and then born around July 4th or on July 4th, that, oh, this will make him a different man. That was 100% true, but not necessarily means it was going to make him a better football player. I thought that was just a nonsense. But my point is that I think Jameis' head is in the right place. And it was a situation where I don't think I was getting any kind of BS or anything like that. And I wasn't looking for it. I wasn't looking for anything to prop up Jameis. And I'm not the guy who's the, you know, Lee DeCamper, the other Joe, is happy to call himself a Jameis honk or a bit of a Jameis honk and a guy who believes in Jameis. I just want to see the guy get more consistent. And he obviously has the talent, and the consistency is what's going to make him an excellent player. I don't think he'll ever be great, but I think he could win a Super Bowl. I do. And that's all that counts if you're a Bucs fan in a lot of ways. But as far as Jameis on the field, and yeah, I'm not going there on some of the other stuff we talked about. But as far as Jameis on the field, look, this is the fine line of the NFL. This is the perception game, and this is what we as fans struggle with and fight about and argue about. The results are always all that matters, but the good evaluators and the good scouts, those are the guys you want because they can see beyond the results. They can tell you this guy is successful, but he would never make it here. Or he's been successful, but he's not good enough. Or he's doing this, and if he keeps doing it, he will be successful, even though he's not successful now in college or as a second-year pro. So you want those evaluators, the people who can see through the results, positive and negative. And when I look at Jameis, I just can't believe how he can't get these turnovers out of his system. Just can't do it. The guy, he fumbles in the red zone yesterday. You can't do that. He was stripped in the red zone. He knows that. That's like the biggest red flag in Jameis's back pocket or in front of his face, and he just can't throw it out. I'm stretching for analogies here, but that was really bad. Bad Jameis, bad. Mike Evans fell on it, touchdown. Hey, he put us in the end zone four consecutive times. That's football. Well, you know what? Football is also protecting the football. And Jameis easily could have had another ball picked. And that happens to every quarterback, though. Don't get me wrong. But the hyper microscope is on Jameis to not make these mistakes. And not in less than a half of football. And you know what? Today, Jameis is the starter. I think, even though Dirk Koetter didn't admit it yet, because he said he hadn't reached Ryan Fitzpatrick and Jameis to tell them both the news, and he needs to do that. He won't release it to the media before that. Hey, if I were Ryan Fitzpatrick, I wouldn't pick up my phone either. Would you? Would you answer a text from Dirk Koetter if you're Ryan Fitzpatrick on your day off? I don't know. And that was a little bit weird by Koetter, because usually there is no Victory Monday, which is a day off for teams who lost the day before. They come in, they review film, and then they sort of put the game to bed. Tuesday is their day off, officially, and then they're back to work on Wednesday for a full day of studying and meetings and contact practice and all that. So it was a little bit odd that Koetter said he couldn't talk to both guys yet. It leads me to believe that he didn't make a decision, or he didn't talk to Jason Light and the Glazers, and maybe they had a meeting, and then after that, one of the guys or both were gone, the quarterbacks. But this will get resolved soon. It's got to be Jameis as the starter. Anything, who knows what Cutter's going to do, because it's Dirk Koetter, but there's no point to going with Fitzpatrick at this point. That should be obvious, and I don't have to rehash that. Definitely don't need to go there. But the mentality in the locker room, I asked Gerald McCoy, I'm probably going to write this up for a story. I asked him, you know, what do you want to tell fans? You know, fans want to know the state of the team. And I had Gerald one-on-one. I don't think Gerald's a big fan of me, which is fine. I'm not here for a popularity contest. But we don't have it. We've never had words or anything like that. Although there was a thing last year on video, and I had to explain what that was about. There's no issue at all. But I asked Gerald, sort of the state of the team. What would you tell fans? One question, Gerald. What would you tell fans about the state of the team, and where they are, and what they should know about this team? And Gerald kind of said, man, I don't know what you want me to say or what that question is, because I don't know what people want to hear anymore from us. I'll tell you where this team is. It's got to come back to work on Monday and on Wednesday and get after it and try to do all the little things and the big things to win a game. He said, that's it. He said, that's really it. I don't have anything else to say. We just have to work harder, play better, and that's football. I don't really know what else you want me to say. I said, hey, man, I wasn't looking for you to say anything. That's what fans want to know. I'm sure people come up to you in the street and say, hey, man, how's this team doing? Where are you guys at? Now, Gerald, he played well against the Redskins, and he did some good things in this game. But again, a defense is always going to look like garbage when you can't cover anybody in the passing game, and you got players who aren't doing anything on the defensive line. Weak links, we'll call McCoy's not the weak link, but you look at Vita Vea out there, he's not playing well. Bo Allen, not playing well. It's just bad. It's really bad. And we need a great evaluator to understand who's playing badly because they're in this system, and who's giving the right effort and with the right technique and has a future, and who doesn't. And we haven't had a lot of that on the defense in a while. Is that a shot at Jason Light? It's just a mess. And Jason Light's part of this defense. He built this defense. This is his defense. The worst defense in the history of football. You can make a lot of cases about what's wrong with it in a lot of angles and on the construction of it. I mean, a big, if you want to start grading Jason and dissecting him, a big shot here is, dude, you guessed wrong on Brent Grimes this year. And one of the reasons you guessed wrong on Brent Grimes is because you were sort of forced into it because you decided you were going to rely on rookies. And you don't have coaches who can coach up rookies. And the Hargrave situation hurt with him getting injured, but you were still banking on him when there was no reason to have that kind of faith. You picked the wrong cornerback. The Panthers did not. Carlton Davis is not looking special. I'm not sure he would start for another team in the NFL. There's a lot of ways to pick apart Jason Light. And I think the only way he possibly survives is if there is a strong turnaround to the end of this season and Jameis plays well. Because Light doesn't coach. I wrote about this on Joe Buck's Fan as well. Light doesn't coach. And the Glazers need to be better evaluators than they've been about their choice of coaches and about their choice of GM. And I'm not about to say that necessarily that Light's a horrible GM. There have been some glaring mistakes in the draft, and every GM can say the same thing. I got a chance to talk to Dave Gettleman before and after the game briefly. Yesterday, he's the Giants GM. He made the trade with Light for Jason Pierre-Paul, and he's had a lot of bold moves in his career that have been torpedoed, and now he's under a massive microscope in New York. And we talked a little bit about that. Once I started asking him anything about Light, he's like, he shut me down in a hurry because you just don't do that. He's not going to talk about another GM or things that are implied to another GM. And then I apologized after the game to him. You know, that I went there And then we started talking again, and he was kind of like, nah, get away from me. You know, I'm not going there. Not going there. I appreciate it though. I like talking to you. Anyway, the Bucks situation is messy, and perhaps the only way to pick up your spirits is to head over to Bill Curry Ford. Bill Curry Ford. It's a Tampa tradition. 58 years, lifetime warranty, new and pre-owned vehicles, 10 years roadside assistance, 1 year maintenance. All the details are at BillCurryFord.com. They're also on JoeBucksFan.com. All you have to do is click the big link, the big banner for Bill Curry Ford. They're great friends of JoeBucksFan.com. General manager Sean Sullivan, serious Bucks fan. Wow. Sean Sullivan is a Tampa native, goes back to his childhood days with the team, lives and dies Bucks, and he's going to give you $500 off a price that you find on BillCurryFord.com. They have transparent pricing, no-nonsense pricing, and just by letting them know you listen to the podcast or you go to JoeBucksFan.com or you're a Bucks fan, whatever you want to tell Sean, he's going to give you $500 off additional to whatever you find at BillCurryFord.com. So you cannot beat that, and you can't beat the great care and love of Bucks fans you're going to get at Bill Curry Ford. Again, just north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. Gorgeous, big showroom, 58 years, a Tampa tradition. Now, in that locker room I mentioned, I talked to Peyton Barber, and you know, Peyton Barber is a soft-spoken guy. Dirk Cutter has even said he doesn't say much. And he's probably plays harder than any Buccaneer. This is the guy, in many ways, who is setting the standard for effort on this team. Has anybody ever seen Peyton Barber not go hard? Anybody? He is, in my opinion, the standard for playing hard on this offense, as well as smart, as well as just relentless. That he's that guy. Ryan Jensen might be a close second, but it's Barber. And he's soft-spoken, keeps to himself, very focused, intense guy, wants to own businesses when he gets out of football. He's been going to college in the off-season. Not online, which he could be. He goes back to Auburn, takes classes, loads up, and he was banged up after yesterday's game, which is understandable. And I finally get to talk to him in an empty locker room. And he goes to the effort card. I ask him about what's going to make the team, you know, what's sort of going to be the difference with this team between the winning and losing. You know, where is it falling short, you know, in all these tight games and in all these slow starts and wild swings in games, what's going on? And he says, quote, we got to play hard for 60 minutes. We can't play hard for spurts of the game. We got to play hard for the whole game, Barber said. Now, when he said that to me in a very calm voice as he got dressed, that resonated with me because I knew Barber wasn't the kind of guy to say that kind of thing, and most guys don't say it, period. So I said to follow it up, I said, can you feel those differences in effort in a game, those swings within a game of guys giving their all and then it's not there? He says, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We also got to pick each other up, you know, play more complimentary football, that sort of thing. You know, you got to play even harder when the other unit isn't doing as well. So that's a guy talking about effort in a very calm way, and that's just scary. And Derek Brooks, if you watch the great show Tampa 2 on JoeBucksFan.com twice a week, it's presented by The Identity Tampa Bay, Ira Kaufman, Derek Brooks. Great show. All Bucks. Brooks, who's really opened up on that show, has said he hates hearing Dirk Cutter talk about effort because you just shouldn't even, you can't coach it. You shouldn't. I'll take that back. Brooks said they used to do drills with Monty Kiffin and Dungy's Bucks that sort of trained you on effort. But the message from Brooks was you can't coach effort. You shouldn't be sort of proud of guys for, we gave good effort. Effort, I like the effort. Effort should be understood. Effort should be implied. Effort should be the culture. And he's talked about that on Tampa too. And you know what? As inconsistent as the Bucs are, and Dave Moore, Buccaneers Radio Network, before the game yesterday, took a little crack at Donovan Smith, acknowledging that he doesn't play to the whistle all the time. I don't have the quote in front of me, but it's in the Morning After column on JoeBucksFan.com. There's a lot of people, including myself, who've called out the Bucs for effort, for loafing. I mean, the film is there. And they're certainly not doing it on every play, but it's there. And that's just bad. Mostly because it happens, sure. But the accountability is absent. And that's where it goes bad. Right? Wherever you are in your life, working, in school, whatever, if you have a bad day, well, you get punished for it in some way. With the Bucks, it's Groundhog Day. Same deal, new game, new venue. Here we go again. So Jameis is back. I'm going to go there and assume that they do the right thing. Team Glazer, saw Team Glazer at the game, was in the locker room. They were in there, cleared out. Joel Glazer cleared out, talking to Jason Light quite a bit before the game. So was Ed Glazer, as they often do. And I think ultimately Team Glazer, I don't want to say vindicated, but I think they sort of made the right decision here. Maybe it's an attractive thing to be for their next head coach, who might be looking at the Bucs situation and see that, hey, you know what? They let Dirk make his decisions and they let their coach coach. And I want to go coach for somebody who lets their coach coach, because you could get a bad reputation in a hurry. If you start, word gets around the league that, you know, a guy in a suit, 50-year-old dude in a suit, is saying who to play at quarterback. And Dirk Cutter today even mentioned, hey, no one's ever talked to me about Jameis's $21 million guarantee or how that works. Nobody's ever told me that, and I certainly don't factor that in. And maybe that's true, maybe it's not. But I tend to believe Dirk, and I also think it's obvious that Team Glazer let him make his own bed, and he crapped in it, for lack of a better explanation there. I also talked to Bo Allen about what's wrong with this team. Bo Allen, he always tries to give you a good answer. And Bo Allen's like, man, I'm just a broken record. He said to me, you know, yeah, I know what good teams look like, but it's just little details that we're just not doing. And every week, it's just little things. Oh, we didn't do here, we didn't do there. And, you know, that's it. I asked him, hey, well, is that on you? Is this an individual thing? You know, are you playing well? And, you know, he didn't say he was playing well. And it's just a lot of frustration there, because I think they have no answers. And some of that comes from coaching, when you're not making adjustments and it's not working and just the answers aren't there. I don't know. Brenson Buckner, I like the guy. He's a great speaker. Seems to be an intense coach. But can anybody make a case that he's doing some sort of great job? Nassib's coming along. JPP's having a good year. McCoy's been okay. Everybody else, I don't know. But again, what is he working with? These are all things that need to be studied as we move forward. 42 days from a new coach. There's no way Dirk Cutter is going to survive this. Look, 2 weeks ago, before they were even out of it, I told you, I'm done. They started 3-5. It's a pattern. It's a mess. And, you know, here we are. There was just no reason to think they would climb out of this thing. One thing I want to say about the Meadowlands, at Giant Stadium, amazing. They've got about 300 yards away from the closest parking lot to the stadium is the sports book. The new, it's legal, FanDuel sports book. You can go bet on games. Most people aren't there doing it because you can bet via an app on your phone, FanDuel Sportsbook. It's even online. You can see all the lines and how it works and all that. If you have the app, it's got geo-tracking on it, so it only works in New Jersey to bet. But when you go to the game, if you're tailgating, they've got all these shuttle buses circling around where they'll pick you up from your tailgate, or right in the main aisle or whatever. They'll pick you up, take you to the sports book, and give you a ride back. and they just keep these buses circulating all tailgate long. I got there early and was kind of hanging out a bit, checking it out, not at the sports book, but in the parking lot. And you got all these drunks coming off buses saying, I got my tickets, $200 on the Giants, giving 2.5. You know, that kind of thing. Hilarious. And, but man, what a setup. Imagine being at a Bucks game. You've had, you know, 6 hamburgers and 8 beers, and you can hop on the bus and drive to, you can drive to One Buck Place around the corner, place your bets, empty your wallet, and come on back and watch the game. Crazy scene over there. I did go to the sports book afterwards, and you know what? I bet on the Bucks against the 49ers. Given 3.5, I just think this might be the one game they can actually win coming back home. And Jameis and the Niners are struggling. Dirk Cutter noted today the Niners actually have fewer turnovers than the Bucks. Got to give Cutter credit. He said, I didn't think that was possible. Now they haven't coughed up the ball as much as the Bucks, but they have fewer turnovers, which think about that. The Bucks haven't had one in like 7 weeks. So it's hopefully I'll win my bet. But a really cool experience, and I hope that comes to Florida one day. Would be nice. I don't think it's a political thing. Just, not going to go there. What's wrong with a little gambling, huh? If you have a problem, you have a problem. Anyway. All right, Dale. Hey, you know, I'm finishing this podcast, and I'm seeing Jameis is going to be the quarterback. So I'm glad that I made that assumption. It's Jameis. The news has broken. And I was assuming that anyway, so now it's all good. A couple things out of that game. Vita Vea, Cutter noted today that he is not hurt, that he is back 100% physically after missing all that time, that he's basically played through his training camp, so to speak, and he's ready. He's just not that good. He's not shedding blocks. This is so bad for Jason Light. What else can you say? The guy's a nose tackle. He can't get off a block. And bad news. With that Jameis news, all I want to see in the final 6 games is decision-making. Decision-making. I'm not looking for the guy to become Alex Smith. I don't want him to be Mike Glennon. I don't want him to be Trent Dilfer. I want him to be himself, but himself has to be a guy who protects the football, who makes smart decisions, who lives to fight another day when you have incredible weapons. You can do that even more, right? You don't have to freak out because it's going to be 2nd and 9 or 3rd and 12. You got the weapons. It's okay. You can punt and make it back. I mean, I get Jameis wants to do it all, and I worry about that as far as his mentality, but I think his approach is right, and if the coaches can get through to him, if he can wise up, we don't really know what he's going to turn out here, good or bad. If he keeps the turnovers going, if he can't stop the turnovers after all this, after getting benched for it, after years, then move on from the guy, because turnovers get you beat every time, and that's what I would say. But he's got 6 games. I got a clean slate on Jameis here in a lot of ways. Clean slate. Let's see it, Jameis. Let's see you go throw 12 touchdowns and 5 picks the rest of the way and put the team on your back once in these 6 games. Win one game for this team. That's what great quarterbacks do. Win one game. Try not to lose any. And just play better. Play better. He does have a lot to prove. And it's very difficult for the ownership to go into another year with a new regime and tell the new guy, well, see what you could squeeze out of Jameis. See what you think. It's just too messy. And if you're going to hire football people, let them do the football thing. Let them run your football organization. And you can't handcuff him like that. Jameis doesn't have that kind of street cred. It's not like someone taking over the Lions and ownership saying Matthew Stafford is your guy. And it's not like Matthew Stafford is the highest standard in the world, but he's not as good as Jameis. Excuse me. He's better than Jameis, and Jameis has a lot to prove. And he can get himself to that point in these six games, in my opinion. If he plays really well, the Glazers will have enough from him to say, hey, look, we're going with Jameis one more year. We can't give that up because he's shown too much and he finished well. And it seems like he's figured out the turnover bug. But Jameis has a lot to do here to accomplish, which will really have a lot of effect on the franchise in various ways. And that's just the reality. Maybe it shouldn't. Maybe the Glazers should just pick the best football people they can find. And if they don't want Jameis, so be it. But I think the reality is going to be something different because a franchise quarterback is that important, especially magnified in this division, especially magnified when, yeah, maybe you can get a couple on the market every year. There are a couple out there, but there's a lot of suitors, a lot of teams in need next season. Jacksonville, Washington, now in the mix for a quarterback. Who knows what happens with San Francisco, who's coming in here. Lots going on. Does Drew Brees win the Super Bowl and then hang it up? If that's the case, that could happen. So, I mean, and the list goes on and on of teams that need quarterbacks and could need quarterbacks. So my message to you, Bucks fans, is hang in there. Keep trying to pull as many positives out of this team as you can. Be that GM that so many of you are, trying to analyze who's good and who's not. There's a lot to root for here with guys hopefully getting better, hopefully proving that they can be a good part of this franchise going forward. There's a lot to study. Savor football, because without football, those months of no football completely suck. And, hey, the Bucks, for being a lousy team, 3-7, there's a lot to pay attention to as this season goes forward. You know, we're going to be doing that for you at JoeBucksFan.com. Trying to think if there's anything in the locker room. Oh, if you didn't see it, I shared a little bit of my chat with Saquon Barkley, who I caught in the tunnel after the game. He was already dressed and had already finished up with family and was about to head out. I was there kind of late, and what a cool dude. What a really, you know, obviously I'm old enough to be his dad, and just a remarkable young guy as far as the way he presents himself, and him talking about Chris Godwin being a role model for him and a mentor, and somebody who he believes helped get him where he is today. And, you know, just such earnest chatter about that. But anyway, hey, well, he's not ours. And all that great Quentin Nelson video that's out there, he's not ours either. As far as losing and tanking, I don't believe in it. I believe in it in certain ways, but not with the quarterback. And, you know, you want to tell Gerald McCoy and JPP with four games left that, hey, guys, we want you back next year. We want you in one piece. You're part of the future. We're sitting you down. Well, that'll lose you a lot of games. But as far as really going overboard with the young players and sitting them, no. These guys need to develop. They need to get better. And you know what? One or two draft positions doesn't always make a difference. You got to have somebody who knows what the hell they're doing in the draft. And, you know, I think somebody could run the numbers on that. And frankly, the thought of the Bucks tanking this season, like they did at the end of 2014, to do that in twice in five seasons, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, to tank two out of five seasons, I can't stomach that. That's not why I buy tickets. Yes, we have tickets. Unbelievable. Now I'm burping. I'm getting all stressed out thinking about the thought of tanking. Let's hope the Bucks get the bags off our heads in these coming weeks, and we'll see you next week.